As a business and leadership mentor, wife, and mom, I know that building a legacy business as a high-performing female entrepreneur can be overwhelming when you play many demanding roles in your life. But you know what? It doesn't have to be that way. You can be a powerful, high performer in your career, plus enjoy a fulfilling marriage and be a great mom all at the same time. Join me and my guests every week to get the inside scoop on what it really looks like to build a high growth business while living a life truly aligned with your family and personal values. Hey, hey, it's Megan. Welcome back to the Built to Last show. Really looking forward to diving into this conversation with you today, wherever you are tuning in from. Maybe you are driving in your car, picking your kids up from school. Maybe you're getting ready and you're putting your makeup on in the morning, or maybe you're drinking your coffee right now or winding down your day and getting ready to call it a night. Today's episode is all about how do we navigate and integrate these two ideals of living a happy life while pursuing your business and career dreams. Now, I don't think that it really matters what age you are. I don't think it matters if you're male or female. You know, I used to think that it was really only women who worried about this or who struggled with balance or that kind of thing. But I don't actually think that it's only women, because I hear this from men as well. I think we hear this sentiment from women more often because women tend to be the nurturer, the caretaker in the household, raising the children in the household, being more involved with the children, especially when they are of a younger age. But I also do work with some male CEOs of 7- and 8-figure businesses, and they are equally as tired, exhausted, burned out, and very stressed out. And many of them also do have families. Some of them even have very young families. And, you know, I'm 41, almost 42. I'll be turning 42 in June of this year. My husband and I have a 13-year-old daughter. So we are parents of one. She's an only child. You know, you really do start to think about how many more years do I have left with my daughter in my house? Brighton and I were riding down the road. This was 3 or 4 weeks ago. I don't remember what we were discussing, but I looked at her and I said, Brighton, she's in seventh grade. She's 13 in seventh grade. I said, you know, we only really have 5 more years together with you living under our roof. And, you know, look, that doesn't mean that she's not going to come home from college if that's what she decides to do. You know, our door is always open. So if she lived with us for a year or two after college or whatever, obviously she would be welcome to do that. I did that. You know, I moved home when I was 21 when I graduated college, turning 22 a couple of weeks after that. And I moved home for a year while I was trying to figure out what my next move was going to be, applying for jobs, trying to find a job. So, you know, it's not like they're completely out of your life, but in terms of the way that we function together today as a family unit, we have 5 more years of that. And she'll be 18, she'll be a senior in 5 years, she'll be venturing off to live the type of life that she desires to live wherever she desires to go. And it really, really makes you reconsider how hard am I going in my business and to drive a career such that I'm missing moments. I'm missing really precious moments in my daughter's life. And maybe you have little ones. Maybe you already have, you know, you've got kids who are already out of the house or whatever stage they're in. Sometimes I think in the pursuit of being successful, in the pursuit of making a lot of money, in the pursuit of being seen from a certain perspective, from the outside world, based on our accomplishments and achievements in business, we tend to put not only ourselves on a back burner, our health, our well-being, our spiritual growth, our spouse, our children, and we wake up one day realizing, hey, I don't have a lot of time left. Whether it's I don't have a lot of time with my kid, or you're at a certain age where, you know, I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination. I'm 41. But when you you know, I'm looking probably down the back half of my life. I mean, I'd love to live to be 100, 110, 120, like let's go for it. But let's say I'm close to being halfway through my life. So you're really looking at life from a very, very different perspective. And I think there is a lot of pressure, there's a lot of pressure for men and women. I think it's a slightly different type of pressure. I do believe that women, we tend to compare ourselves a lot more to others. If you're in a male-dominated industry, you're probably comparing yourself more to the men in your industry. If you are not in a male-dominated industry, you know, the coaching industry that I've been in, coaching and consulting for the last 13 years, I wouldn't necessarily say that it's male-dominated. I have primarily been surrounded by women in terms of clients, people who I've worked with, all the messages that I see online, it's largely from women in the industry. But I do believe that we tend to have our joy stolen from us because we are comparing ourselves and we're comparing our pace. We're comparing the pace that we have set for ourselves to someone else's pace. Look, I'll be really honest. I started my business when my daughter was an infant. She was an infant in a car seat and still probably not quite on a bottle anymore. But I would take her to every networking event I needed to. Even if I had a speaking engagement, I would take her with me. I would take her with me to meetings. I never took her when I was meeting with a client, I don't think. But, you know, I had to figure out how to make that work when she was a really, really small child. And I do remember there were moments when I would get so frustrated because I needed to tend to my child and I needed to be a mom. We didn't send her to daycare, so she was in the home a lot when I was home trying to grow a business 13 years ago, 12 years ago, 11 years ago. And I remember so many moments where I would be annoyed and frustrated and just wish I had it easier and I could just focus 100% of my time on building a business. And that comparison really comes out when we are watching other people. And I know for me, I can only really speak from my experience, I would get so jealous of other women who were, most of them were probably younger than me at the time, maybe close to the same age, but they weren't married. They didn't have kids. And I thought, you've got it so easy. You could literally pound the pavement for 12 to 14 hours a day and still have a nightlife, like still have a bit of a personal life with friends and going out on the town, whatever you want to do, and build a multi-million dollar business pretty doggone fast. And I remember I would get like so jealous and so annoyed and so frustrated and play such a victim at that time, you know, saying things to myself like, well, I only have X amount of time because I have these other responsibilities. I have the responsibility of being a wife, of raising a child, of keeping up with a household and all the demands that come with parenthood, motherhood, being a spouse and also running a household, right? And sharing that leadership with your spouse inside the home while also growing a business. And look, growing a business is more than a full-time job. And then you're putting on top of that, parenting is absolutely a full-time job for sure. Now that I've been a parent for 13 years, it's a full-time job. Keeping up with a house, it can also be a full-time job. So, you know, we do a lot of comparing ourselves to where other people are at in terms of their business growth and the success that they've had without really acknowledging so many different variables and factors that play into the decisions that any of us are making. Yesterday, I was talking to a young woman who is in her late 20s. I believe she's 29, soon to turn 30, two kids, 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, single mom, so divorced. And has a very, very successful business. In fact, she's got two very successful businesses. And we started talking about being moms and, you know, the moments in our homes, because as online entrepreneurs, we're working from home where our kids have been in the room with us and they are attached to a TV or attached to an iPad or attached to a phone while we're attached to our computer. And we're missing the moments to really pour into and be present with our children. And I don't know what your situation is like, but that is a very challenging balance. That's very challenging to integrate living a happy life and honoring the different roles that you're playing in your life, and also honoring your needs and wants and desires, while also honoring where you're being called to lead and grow your business. And so as I was talking to this young woman who is very, very successful in her business, I mean, even has almost 80,000 followers on Instagram that she started from scratch in 2020. I mean, she used to be a waitress and left that in 2020. So it hasn't even been 4 years and she's grown what she's been able to grow. And she was expressing to me just a lot of concern that she has had over the last couple of years when she has hired specifically what we were talking about, different marketers and marketing agencies to help her build out her funnels. Now, what a lot of those folks will say is like, you're sitting on a gold mine. We should just like pour, you know, fuel on the fire because you could just like literally explode to millions and millions and millions. And she was sharing with me that she has really had to evaluate her core values, her vision, the type of life that she desires to live. And look, it sounds good. It sounds good. Who doesn't want to rapidly make 6 figures a month? Who doesn't want to rapidly make 6 figures a month? And it's so easy for us to say, well, I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. Like I'm good with just, but if somebody came along and said, hey, if I started giving you $100,000 a month, would you take it or would you leave it? And you didn't have to do anything for it. You would take it, right? So all of us desire to get to the next level in our business and desire to get to the next level financially, but at what expense? Like, what is it going to take? Or what is someone telling you it's going to take or pushing you to do? And oftentimes the people who are giving that advice, they are in a particular circumstance, environment, or situation where they do have 10 or 12 or even 14 hours, 6 days a week to dedicate to just building a business. Whether they are, a guy who isn't the one who's responsible for the household and the raising of the kids, and they're the breadwinner. Oftentimes it comes from that angle, or it can also be a female who, it's not in the same season of life or life situation that you might be in. And for those people, it works for them. And that's amazing. But I want to invite you to set your own pace and not let someone else set your pace for you because they are selling you on how amazing your business could be. And there's also no shame in deciding, you know what? I'm really good making $50,000 a month so that I can work 6 hours a day and be present when my kids are home the entire time my kids are home. I want to cook dinner. I want to go on the field trips. I want to tuck them in bed at night. I want to wake them up with a kiss in the morning and walk, go on an evening family walk with them in the afternoons. I want to have dinner at the table as a family 7 nights a week. I want to go to church on Sundays. I want to go on nature walks on the weekends. I want to go on family adventures on the weekends. You really do have to decide, what do I want my life to look like? And be okay with the pace at which you are going to grow your business based on the decisions you are making about the kind of life you desire to live, and be okay with it. And that's exactly what this young woman was sharing with me yesterday. She goes, I was just being so pushed and pushed and pushed to grow, because 80,000 followers on Instagram, all organic, never used a paid ad, two businesses, like incredible. Like she could easily be making multiple 6 figures a month, like in a year's time, right? And she said, but I'm also okay raising my family and making 50 grand a month and growing at a more slow and steady pace. So if it takes me a little bit longer to get to 6 figures a month or multiple 6 figures a month, if it takes me a little bit longer than it took the person who's telling me I should, you know, just put more fuel on the fire and crush it and go all in on this, then that's okay. And be okay with that. So I think that's just so important to decide, I'm going to go at XYZ pace because it works for me. And here's why. And then make the decision not to compare yourself to anyone else who has decided to go at a faster pace for whatever reason. So I want to share Just a couple of tips here for you. This is exactly what I would do with my own clients. And, you know, I'm also mentoring some young women who are in their 20s. They have businesses. They are entrepreneurs. Some of them have more than one business. And some of them may or may not be married, may or may not have kids, or one or the other, could possibly be single as well. And what I'm noticing with the 20-somethings is that they are starting very, very early, at a very early age, going hard and going fast. And, you know, that's really what I did in my 30s. I went hard and I went fast. And for much of my 30s, my husband was stay-at-home dad, took care of the house, house manager, cleaned, did all the cooking, all the shopping, did everything that needed to be done with Brighton. And I really focused on building the business and making money. I mean, that's what I did for, you know, a good solid first 7 years, 8 years of Brighton's life. And the last 5 years, still have a business, still been growing a business, but Sean's now building his own business. And we have really changed how we operate and function inside of our household and as a family. And I've really had to learn how to not necessarily slow down, but soften up a little bit and not feel like I have to be in such control around every single move that I'm making, and being okay with maybe not being at the place that I would like to be from a ego place. And, you know, I'm working with these young 20-somethings and they are exhausted. They are burnt out. They are overworking, over-efforting, overdoing it, over-delivering, and are predominantly spending 80% of their time just working to grow a business. And what I'm hearing from them is that is not what they desire to do. They desire to do it in a new and different way, yet they do not have mentors to really guide them in that direction. And so I'm going to share 7 different points here. It's the same thing that I share with my 20-somethings. It's the same thing I would share with you if you are 45 or 55 or a man or a woman. You know, I don't really think that it changes much. So step number 1 is do a whole life assessment of yourself. And I love to follow Brendon Burchard's whole life assessment. Actually, I'm going to open up my high performance planner right now so I can tell you what those categories are. And if you don't have the high performance planner, you can get that from Amazon, I'm sure. It's where I got mine. So when you do a whole life assessment, you are giving different areas of your life a rating between a 1 and a 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. So the categories are health, mental / emotional, partner / love, family, friends, mission, experiences, spirit, finances, and learning. Those are 10 different areas. And just give yourself a score and then select 1 or 2 that are maybe on the lower end or some mid-range, and do something about it. Make small incremental changes. And that would be step number 2. Once you've identified where you're currently at and you acknowledge it, and then you make a decision about, okay, which one do I want to pull the lever on a little bit? Which one would I like to focus on a little bit more? Which one would I like to be a bit more present in? Which one would I like to very much bring to the surface? And step 2 is start making small incremental changes in that particular category. So for instance, if your health is not where you desire it to be, and you are putting off working out or eating healthy, or you are sitting at your desk 8 to 10 hours a day and you're not getting up at all except to get some food and go to the bathroom, maybe your small incremental change is getting up every 90 minutes and going for a 15-minute walk. And you're going to go outside so you get the fresh air. You're going to get some sun on your skin, and you're also going to move your body. Maybe that's your small incremental change. When we make one small incremental change, it will positively impact all the other areas of your life. Okay. Step number 3, try this activity. It's amazing. When I do this with my clients, I love it. Observe your thoughts for a week. Observe your thoughts for a week. I had a mindset coach actually have me do this activity. And what I noticed, I specifically did the activity around the difference between my thoughts on the weekend versus the week. And they were very, very different. My thoughts during the week were all about, I have to, I should do, I need to, I don't have time for, I have to accommodate, but all the have to's and the shoulds and the needs. On the weekend, it was, I love to, I create, I spend time with my family, I wake up more slowly, I get to do whatever I want. It's quieter, it's more peaceful. And so I came up with this phrase that I use with myself, and I'm like, weekend energy. I want to have weekend energy during the week as well, which doesn't mean you do nothing during the week. But what if I had the same thoughts during the week, Monday through Friday, as I do on the weekends? How would my experience change? And so it's very important that we are aware of the thoughts we're thinking that are driving a lot of our behaviors and actions and decisions that we're making inside of our businesses and our lives. Because my weekday thoughts were causing me to overwork, overdeliver, and over effort and have no time, have very little time for myself to take care of myself, and then have no time or bandwidth left over for my family. And I would be a little bit more irritated and frustrated and moody when my family wanted to spend some time with me or wanted to peel me away from the computer, the desk, or the work. Step number three, this is another really great activity. I just had one of my 20-somethings do this recently. I've done this activity in business programs as well, as recently as the last couple of years. But if you take a sheet of paper, draw a line down the middle so that you have two columns, write the word owner at the top of the left column and operator at the top of the right column. So usually when I am working with clients, even when they have a team in place, they are very much, so sure, they own the company, but they are behaving like an operator 100% of the time in their business. They are very involved in the day-to-day operations and very involved in the day-to-day delivery of the programs, products, or services that they have sold. Therefore, they do not have free time. They don't have time freedom at all. And even though they have team, many of them will express, I'm working harder now when I didn't have a team than when I have a team. And isn't it supposed to be different? So write down, what does it mean to you? And what are the behaviors? What are the thoughts? What are the feelings? What are the actions? What are the decisions of an owner? And do the same thing in the category of operator. And then identify which one are you in more often. And so if you want to move to being more of an owner and less of an operator, it doesn't mean you completely 100% stop doing everything all of a sudden in the operator category. It means let's pick a few things in the operator category that I'm going to either delete or delegate. And then let's pick one or two things in the owner category that I am going to start adopting now and moving in that direction. Because if we don't start making these types of changes now in the way we're thinking, in the way we're feeling, in the way we're acting, you're going to find yourself in the exact same state you're in now 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and 10 years from now. And your behavior is going to become very habitual. And for a lot of us, the way we're operating in a daily basis in our business, it is habitual. It's just become a habit. And so we wake up and we do the exact same thing and we go through the exact same process, kind of like autopilot Monday through Friday in our businesses. Step number five is build a team managed company. Build a team managed company. So whether it's just you and it's time for you to start bringing on team members, or maybe it's you and you already have team in place to whatever degree that you do, start thinking, how can I remove myself from day-to-day operations? How can I remove myself from so much of the client delivery and start training my team to be able to manage the day-to-day operations for me and lead it and manage and lead at least a portion of the client delivery? Look, a lot of us start a business because we have a skill and we have a craft and we are selling our craft and we're selling our skill, which means we're the one delivering it. And then when we want to scale and we have more clients, we realize, wait a minute, I can only have X number of clients because I don't have any more time in the day. And this is where you have to release control and you have to bring people in to take over some of those projects. Now, I'm a really big believer, if you are in the beginning stages of bringing team on, to bring team on for just to bring someone on for just a few hours a week, give them one or two main areas that they are going to start taking over and train them on that, create processes and systems around that, build their confidence around that. And it won't take very long because you didn't give them a whole lot of things to do at one time. Evaluate their progress. And then once you've got whatever they're doing, whatever you started them off with, it's working like a well-oiled machine and it's producing the results you want to see produce. Then add on the third thing or the fourth thing and then follow that same process all over again. So just start thinking, if I had a team-managed company, what would that look like? What would my role be in the company? And my specialty is in program fulfillment. So I work with a lot of mentors, coaches, consultants, and strategists and teachers who have high-ticket group coaching programs and masterminds, and they are still the sole deliverer of the content in the program. And they may have a couple of people helping them in like manage the program or support with client success, but they're still the one who's having to show up all the time for the clients, and they're still way too involved with delivering the service. If you are running a high-ticket group program or mastermind, the goal is for you to only be present for about 20 to 30% of it, and your team is running the other 70 to 30% of it. Step number six is include your family. Include your family. Have open communication with your family about your specific business goals, but also have family conversations often about your family goals. What are the goals of your family? What are the goals of your husband, your spouse? What are the goals of your kids? How do they see your family unit? What are your financial goals? What are your travel goals? What are your legacy goals? What are your health goals as a family? What are your spiritual goals as a family? What are your relationship goals? And be very clear on that. And oftentimes, and I know I've been very, very guilty of this, I will just focus on my goals, my business, my goals, what I want to achieve, and then family, you just need to fit into that. And that does not make for a very happy home or a happy relationship with your children or a happy relationship with your spouse. So it, what I've really learned to do, and I'm still learning to do this, I would not say I'm great at this, it's having the family, open lines of communication, being very clear on what your family vision is together, and then building a life and a business that are not two separate entities, but that are very well integrated together. And then finally, step number seven is make sure you are designing a business on purpose with intentionality, not expectation with intentionality, that gives you more time freedom. Now, depending on the season that you're in, depending on how fast you want to grow, there are going to be times when you do not have as much time freedom as you would like in your business. But there are a lot of different business models. There are a lot of different ways that you can grow from a marketing and sales perspective. Have you actually developed a business that you enjoy leading and that does afford you the ability for more time? A couple of years ago, I closed down my flagship and scalable group coaching programs. I had two of them. Closed them down and I shifted to a one-on-one consulting model. And it was very much a done with you, somewhat done for you service. There was also some coaching involved with that. There was a lot of strategy involved with that. But the done with you and the done for you started to become excessively labor intensive for me. And I noticed that it was so much work that I was actually working more. And look, I was charging, and I still do the consulting now to this day. I still have some consulting clients. I charge a lot of money for that, but it is butt in seat, sitting behind a computer work, and it takes a lot of hours every single week. So, and I love doing it. It's not that I don't enjoy doing it. It's not that I don't love doing it. It's not that I'm not good at it. But is that going to give me the time freedom that I desire in my life for passion projects, for my daughter, for my husband, for our family, for my other responsibilities that I'm a part of? Is that the business I want to continue to grow? And do I want to continue to go in that direction? For me, the answer is no. I don't want to have a 100% just me consulting, done with you, done for you business. Will that be an element of what I do? 100%. But I decided to shift back into a more scalable model, still working with the same level of client that I currently work with at the consulting level, but creating more of a mastermind situation for that so that I'm working a considerable number of hours less in client delivery and fulfillment than if I'm just doing strictly one-on-one consulting. So you can also pivot your business. And I think sometimes we're really afraid that, oh no, like I built this thing and I've literally created the beast and I have to keep feeding the beast. You can pivot whenever you want to. I think the key is to pivot quickly and to make a pivot that actually makes sense, right? Make a pivot that actually makes sense. And that's going to look a little different for all of us. So really quickly, I'll go back over those again. Living a happy life while pursuing your business and career dreams. It isn't that we have to only choose one or the other. Oftentimes I see us pendulum swinging. We will go all in on the business and forget about personal life and family life and self. Or we get so burned out and we crash and then we pendulum swing back and we like are barely running a business. The finances drop. And then, but we're like this amazing family person, parent, spouse. And I do believe there is a very happy medium that we can dance between, that we can really integrate those two worlds together and know that there will be seasons when sometimes you're a little bit heavier on the business side. And then some seasons you're a little bit heavy on the family side. But in the end, it does kind of like work itself out and it does balance out. So step number one was conduct a whole life assessment of your life today. Step two, make incremental changes based on that whole life assessment. Step three, observe your thoughts for a week. Notice where all your thoughts are going because that first step is awareness. Step four, identify the difference for yourself between an owner and an operator. Start doing a little bit less of the operator tasks that you're doing and start doing more of the owner. Start adopting more of the owner mentality and start now, no matter where you're at in your business. Step five, build a team managed company. Step six, include your family. And step seven, design a business that gives you more time freedom, even if you need to make changes right now to your existing business model and the direction that you've decided to go. Hope that you have found so much great value from this episode. I would love to hear from you. So send me a message on Instagram or Facebook and let me know what you loved about this episode. And remember to share the episode. The number one way for us to increase our listenership and get this amazing content into the ears and lives of other people is if our current listeners, just like you, are sharing it with friends, family, clients. So however you heard about our show, be sure to share it on that same platform to your audience. I would appreciate it so much. And until next time, remember to build a life and business that is built to last. Thank you so much for tuning into the Built to Last show. If you're loving the show and have gotten any value out of it for your business and life, would you mind doing two things? Subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode and leave us a review. Our listener reviews helps us get more visibility and reach more people just like you. Help us make a difference for more entrepreneurs by helping them grow their businesses in a way that aligns with their life, family, and core values. Thank you so much for being part of our community and tuning into the show each week.